Take your Bibles, go to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. The book of Philippians, chapter number 2. I know most of your Bibles probably already just fall open to that place on Sunday morning, right? I mean, they should just come right open to Philippians, chapter number 2, because we have been here for quite some time, and we are making our way through this. But we understand that the Word of God is what is most important. And I know I enjoy stories and illustrations, but the most important thing that we can have that the Holy Spirit uses in our lives is an understanding of the Word of God. And long after a story or an illustration is forgotten, the Word of God remains in our hearts and minds to understand the truth of what God has given to each of us. So Philippians chapter 2, as you well know by now, is just one of those passages that you can't leave, that it just keeps giving, and you keep seeing more truth and things that we can understand about our lives, about how we are to live. And as I have said, really the last 2 weeks, we understand we live in a world that needs to see the truth. We live in a world where God has given us a responsibility, as we saw in chapter 2, to shine as lights, that we are the lighthouse that the world needs to see, and that we recognize that our lives are demonstrating who we are as believers, and that when people see us, they see that we are different, that we act different, we talk different, we forgive different, we love different, we have compassion differently, because we are followers of the true God, and He is working and moving in our lives. So just an understanding of the flow of this passage once again, and you know that I like to review because repetition is the law of learning and the mother of skill. And so I learn by repeating things, right? And when I memorize a verse of Scripture, I just memorize by repeating that verse and saying that verse, and it sticks in my mind that way. And so one of my things that I love to do as we study Scripture is to understand the flow and what is going on, and not just to just take a verse here, there, whatever. And we will do some of that as we go to some different passages today, but to understand that there's a flow to Scripture, and there's something that the Holy Spirit is seeking to have us learn and to understand. And so again, this church in Philippi, Paul writing to them by the time we're in chapter number 2, and he says in verse number 2, "Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, being of one accord and of one mind." And then verse 3, and again, we're just going to fly through this quickly, "Don't let anything be done through strife or vainglory." Now, I keep going back to these things because I understand as a pastor and with people and churches and individuals that God really talks about this subject a lot, that we are to be unified, that the world is looking for a light to shine. And so he says, don't let anything be done through strife or vainglory, but let everybody esteem the other person better than themselves. That's the Christian life. That's how we live. Is I am looking out for you, you are looking out for me, and that we care for one another, and we each humble ourselves and swallow our own pride, and we esteem the other person more than ourselves. This reminds me of something I joke Joanna about sometimes. If you want to see something interesting, is to see Joanna and her sisters try to pay each other back, right? And it'll be like, no, here's $10. I'm not taking the $10. Here's $10 for you. No, and it goes back and forth, until no one will take any reimbursement whatsoever for it. And that's the idea of like, no, I don't want to take from you. I don't want to take from you. And so we look out for one another, and we esteem one another better than ourselves. The question was then asked, how do we do this? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That's our example. That's who we follow, Christ, and He gives us the power as we humble ourselves, as we are obedient to the Word of God, as we recognize the illustration and example that He has given to us. And the Bible gives us many illustrations that if Christ has accomplished these things, so also we must accomplish these things with His power as He has demonstrated for us. And we went through that and the emptying of Christ and what Christ has done and how we can have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, this understanding. And then we get to these other verses where the Bible says that we are to demonstrate and to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's in verse number 12. He says, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God works in you. That we are demonstrating our salvation. We are demonstrating who we are. And the example I give for this is that, you know, if I were to tell you all that I played running back for the Dallas Cowboys, all right? I know you would believe that right away, of course. But then when I was here, when training camp was going on, and then you go home after a Sunday service and you turn on the television during football season and you say, I'm going to watch Josh, you know, and you begin to see that I'm not on the field, I'm not on the roster, I am not on the team. As a matter of fact, you just saw me that morning and began to realize that by my actions of not being there, that I'm clearly not the running back for the Dallas Cowboys, right? And so as Christians, we say, I'm a believer in Christ, but does our actions, does our fruit, does it demonstrate that? Do we have the mind of Christ? Do we esteem one another better than ourselves? Are those things visible to those around us? The Bible says the husband in Ephesians loves his wife like Christ loves the church. The Bible says we forgive as God has forgiven us, that we love one another. The Bible says if you say you love God and you don't love one another, you're lying. The truth isn't in you if that love is not being demonstrated to one another. And so we should, our actions, our attitudes, our words, our conduct should reflect who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. And so we're demonstrating, we're working out our salvation. And that does not mean that we are working for salvation. One of the greatest illustrations of that works are not required for salvation, Alistair Begg and Jim has this book that he wrote called The Man on the Middle Cross, and he doesn't mention this exact part, but if you understand, the man on the middle cross had his hands nailed to the cross and his feet nailed to the cross. He could have done no work in order for Christ to say, today you will be with me in paradise. So if you think works are required for salvation, then how did the man on the cross, not the man, the man on the cross, Christ said that was the man on the middle cross, this is what the name of the book, but the thief on the cross was told by the man on the middle cross that today you will see, be with me in paradise. Well, the man there that asked for him to be remembered, asked Christ to remember him, was nailed, being crucified. He could do no work at that point, but trust in Jesus alone. So the verse is not saying work for salvation. It's saying demonstrate your salvation. And then verse 13, as we're making our way through this little review quickly, for it is God which works in you to do of his good pleasure, that he's empowering us and enabling us to work. And then back to application again in verse number 14. Do all things. Again, we made an emphasis on that, not just some things, but all things without murmuring and disputing. That's part of a Christian life. When we murmur and when we dispute and when we complain, we're questioning God's provision. We're questioning his providence. We're questioning his work in our lives. So don't complain, don't murmur, don't dispute among one another. So this is where the example gets to. All this is leading, as I have mentioned in times and weeks past, it's all leading to a point. He wants you, verse 15, to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, because we're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, or crooked and perverse nation, the Bible says, among whom, and then here's where we get to, we've talked about this as well, we are shining as lights in the world. We shine forth with our life, with our actions, with the way we treat people, the way we act, the way we love. We shine as a light in the world. That's our responsibility. We are to shine as lights wherever we go, and especially among those that do not know the Lord. We are demonstrating Christ to them with who we are. And then we get to verse 16. And just like that, we're caught up. We have made it to a new material in verse number 16. And then I said I would get to the last part of the verse, and I will. And I'm going to be honest. The reason I'm spending so much time on this first part of chapter 2 is because it really goes fast after this to the get to chapter number 3, and then we'll really slow down again in chapter number 3, I'll be honest with you. But from this point on in chapter 2, we see some examples of faithfulness, some examples of service to God, and then we get back into some amazing teaching in chapter number 3, and then we're even going to eventually get to the most famous verse in all of Philippians, which is chapter 4 and verse 13. And I can't wait to get to that verse because 98% of people use that. I'm going to preach this already. I better not. 98% of people use that verse, I believe, incorrectly in their application in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. But anyway, back to chapter number 2. And so he says, you are shining as a light in the world. That is what God wants us to do. And again, just quickly, let me ask you one question. Are you shining? With those you are with those that know you, are you shining as a light? Do your neighbors think you are a light? Do your friends, do your coworkers, do they recognize that you have something that maybe they do not? Because you have the Holy Spirit, you have a relationship with your Creator. Are we shining as lights to those around us? And then, all that is leading to this point. And then verse 16, he says, holding forth the word of life. We hold forth the word of life. We are not depositories. We are dispensers. We are not just to be filled into, but we are to dispense and show the word of life to others. We are stewards and witnesses, not just to enjoy the gospel for ourselves, but to share it with those around us. The gospel is not a secret to be hidden, but a story of the truth that is to be heralded to those around us. The gospel, if we believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, if we believe forgiveness of sin is only through faith in Jesus Christ, if we had medicine to cure the greatest disease that afflicts mankind, why would we not tell others? Why would we not share forth what Christ has done for us? And so we are to show forth and to herald the truth. We are to hold it forth. And I talked about last week of Psalms 19 and how the Word of God strengthens us, and then we bear fruit for those around us. So we do not want to have this fortress mentality. We don't want to just isolate ourselves, right? And just say, oh, well, I'm just going to hide in my own little fortress and I don't want anybody to be around me. But we are to shine the light. We are to hold forth the gospel to this world, to tell those about Jesus Christ. This last week, Joanna and I went on our anniversary trip to another country, actually in Dominican Republic. And I got back at 1 a.m. last night, and I've been on planes in Miami and St. Louis and all kinds of places. But when we were there on the beach, which we cannot speak any Spanish, all right? Very little. I speak more Navajo than Spanish, but anyway, and so we learned to say, hola, ¿cómo estás? Anyway, so all that stuff. So we were saying those things, and we were having a good time, and we met this little man on the beach named Wilfredo. He was 19 years old, and his job was to walk the beaches there and to sell excursions to people, right? And so we couldn't talk to him, and he couldn't talk to us, and we have very little English, and finally he gets his phone out, and he starts doing Google Translate. So he'd talk into that thing, you know, and then we'd read it, then we'd talk back, and eventually I thought, I'm going to talk to him about the Lord. So I asked Wilfredo in this little Google Translator, I said, do you know Jesus? Have you learned about Jesus from the Bible, right? And so then he gets his phone, and it reads off to him, Jesus from the Bible. And Wilfredo just lit up. He gets on his knees, and he goes towards heaven. He says, Jesus, my number one, he my number one, he kept saying over and over. And we went back and forth about how he knew Jesus and he was so excited. And he said to us, he said in his little Google translator, he said, I never talked to people this long. But he said, something was different about you all that I sensed. And he sat there and talked to us for an hour back and forth with this Google Translate because he sensed. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. When you know the Lord and someone else knew the Lord, there is something there that is between you all. And he knew Christ as his Savior. And we got to meet other people and talk to others about things. And we are to be a light no matter what we're doing. We are to hold forth the Word of God wherever we go and whatever we are and whoever we're talking to, whether we speak their language or not. And so he says in verse number 16, we hold forth the Word of life. And Paul is going to give an illustration here about the day of Christ. But before we go into that, we recognize that we are presenting the Word. We are showing the Word to other people. Now, the question is why? Why is this so important that we shine as lights in the world? Why is it so important that we hold forth the Word, as he says in verse number 16, the Word of life? The Scripture contains life. The instruction for eternal life. Jesus says, or the Word says, I'm running on very little sleep, so forgive me if I misspeak a little bit today, but the Bible says that I may know him, Philippians 3:10 says, and the power of his resurrection. John says in chapter 17 and verse number 3, and this is life eternal, that we might know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The Bible is the Word of life. Life is found. There's a saying that used to be popular, and maybe it still is, that people would say, man, this is the life. I'm living the life, right? They just caught a wave, you know. They're like, man, this is the life, man. This is awesome, right? And so, but to understand that life is found in God, in a relationship with Him. And that have you actually lived life if you do not know your Creator? Have you actually experienced life if you have not found true life, which is comes through the understanding of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? So we hold forth the Word of life because the Scripture contains the information and the knowledge of how to have true life and eternal life through a relationship with our Creator. And we can think of examples of what that would be and how, as I already said this morning, that we can hold forth the truth of what God has done for us. And if we had the cure to cancer or to another disease, we would tell everybody we knew. And yet the Scripture contains the cure to the greatest problem man has ever had, which is sin. And sometimes we keep our mouths quiet and we don't care about shining light to those around us. So we hold forth the Word of life. Now, here's the answer for why. Because the Scripture has the instructions for a relationship with God. But not only that, but the Scripture is these things. And this is where we're going to go on to a little bit of an excursion. And we're going to do this quickly. And Monty's fingers are going to be smoking on the keys back there as he does all these. Psalms 119 and verse number 24. Holding forth the Word of life. Psalms 119 and verse number 24. We want the Bible to speak for itself. The Word of life, we hold forth the Word of life. What is the Bible to mankind? Verse 24 says this, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The Bible says the testimonies of God are to be our delight and to be our counselor, that we recognize the Word, the truth of Scripture. They provide the knowledge, the understanding, and the counsel that we need for this life. The Bible compares in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says that Scripture is like fire. It is like fire. But before we don't have to turn there, I'm going to take you somewhere else quickly. Go stay in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter number 19. The book of Psalms, chapter number 19. In my teen Sunday school class, we're learning about the conscience. And we're teaching the kids, I'm teaching the kids on the importance of a conscience and what is a conscience and what informs the conscience and how we have the truth for the conscience found in the Word of God. But in Psalms 19 and verse number 9, the Bible says this: "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." In verse 10, look at what it says about God, His Word, and His principles. "More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Scripture is more valuable. The truth of God's Word is our counselor. The truth of God's Word is like a fire in our hearts. The truth of God's Word is like gold. Now, I don't know about you, but gold is pretty valuable, right? There's people who do all kinds of things for gold. Have you ever seen the show? I haven't watched it in a long time, about the people in Alaska that go with all this big equipment and they dig and dig and dig and they have all these filters and screens and all these things. And then at the end of it, they have a jar of gold, right? And it's valuable, and that somehow makes it all worth it for all that they went through and things. And so people spend effort and time and money for this gold. And yet the Bible says the truth of God and knowing God and knowing who He is more, what's it say in verse 10? "More to be desired or sought after than gold, yea, even the finest gold." Not only that, but the Scripture and the truth of God's Word is sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and the keeping of them there is great reward." The Scripture is our counselor. The Scripture is a fire. The Scripture is like gold. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23 that it is a hammer that molds us. It's like a heritage in Psalms 119. As I already mentioned, it's like honey from Psalms 19. Now go back to Psalms 119. Well, we're just bouncing all the way back and forth. Psalms 119 and verse number 105. Psalms 119 and verse number 105. You probably recognize this verse. "Why do we hold forth that word of life? Why do we present it to the world? Because the word of God is a counselor, a fire, a gold, a hammer, a heritage, honey." And then he says this: "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's what the Scripture is. Without the Word of God, we are walking in darkness. We are walking in danger. But the Bible shines light upon the truth. "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that the Scripture is like milk. We see other places where Scripture is compared to a rain that falls and does not return void. And Scripture is like a seed. Scripture in Isaiah 55 is like snow. Hebrews 5:11 compares Scripture to solid food. And then, one we've already talked about, but we got to talk about again this morning, in Ephesians chapter number 6. In Ephesians chapter number 6, he says in verse 17, do you hate me yet, Monty? Ephesians 6 and verse number 17, he says, "And take the helmet of salvation and" what? "The sword of the Spirit," which is what? "The Word of God." Scripture is our sword. It's our counselor, our fire, our gold, our hammer, our heritage, our honey, our lamp, our light, our milk, a mirror, rain, seed, snow, solid food, and a sword. It's all these things to us. Go back, you're already sitting there in Ephesians, but look back at chapter 5 and verse number 25. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with water, with the washing of water by the word." Scripture is important. My friend, I know that this is more maybe like a Bible study this morning than a rah-rah-ree sermon, okay? But we understand this is so important for Christians who sometimes we lay aside the importance of Scripture. Sometimes we chase that next emotional experience instead of going back to the truth of God's Word and recognizing that God has given us His Word and that we are to study it and learn it and hold it forth to a world that needs a counselor, that needs light to their path. These verses remind us that every Christian is to display and show forth the truth of God's Word. So we go back to Philippians now, and he says, verse 15, he says, you shine as lights in the world. And then verse 16, holding forth the word of life, we hold it forth, we present it out, we don't just take it in, we live it out, and we demonstrate it to those around us. And then he says in verse number 16, the Apostle Paul, giving a little practical thing here in verse number 16, he says, you hold it forth that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. This is, we could go into a whole long explanation of the judgments and all the things that are taking place. He's just not talking about the day of the Lord, which refers to as a judgment time, but this is a reward situation, which is found in Corinthians, which we call the Bema Seat. He's talking about the rewards judgment for believers and the day of Christ. And he says he looks forward to that. And he often refers to the Christian life this way. He says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul uses that imagery a lot of running. And he's not talking about just the first steps of a race, right? Who all in here is a runner? Have you ever done any long running? Who all likes running? Oh, I like running if a bear is after me or something like that. But, you know, just to run for fun, I'm not that group, all right? I can do other things, but running for fun. But when Joanna drugged me into a few races when we lived in Florida, and when I would start that race, I was never concerned about my first couple steps. I was worried about the last steps of the race, right? I didn't stand there at the starting line like, oh man, how am I going to do this first step? You know, I didn't worry about that at all. It was like, how am I going to get to the other end of this thing, right? And so that's kind of the imagery that we're talking about here. Paul says, do these things. Follow the word. Live in the word. Be empowered by the word. Let God work in your heart. Be an example to those around you, because your life and your Christian life is more than just a couple steps. It's a lifetime, a marathon of your life. And he says, I don't want myself and the work and the things I have imparted to you to be in vain, and the things that you have done to be in vain. He says in verse 16, that I may run in vain, neither labored in vain. He wants us to finish well. He wants us to live our life by the power of God. And not just think of the Christian life as just a couple steps, but every day we're living, we're demonstrating, we're showing forth what God has done for us in our lives. Paul says, I want to rejoice in verse 16, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I want to rejoice in the day of Christ. There's some things we could talk about of that, of a recognition of what's going on there at the Bema Seat and these things that are taking place. Go to 2 Corinthians quickly, chapter 5 and verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. The Bible says this here, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not a judgment for sin. Sins have been removed through Jesus Christ. But this is a time to give an account for what you have done with what God has given to you. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he had done, whether it be good or bad. Do you know there's going to be a time where our lives, we stand before, as he says here in verse number 10, the judgment seat of Christ. And this is not going to be a time, I don't believe, where sins are considered, but it's saying, Josh, I've gave you this and I empowered you to this. Did you follow me in this area? Were you obedient to what I had called you to do? And I'm just saying a few things here, but we could get into longer discussions of this in the future. But that's what Paul is referring to. He says, live your life in light of eternity. Live your life not just on just one little day, but live your life in regard to these truths. Don't live your life and where you get to the end and you have labored for nothing. Ministry is a race. Paul had poured years of time into these ministries and suffered beatings and all the things that he had gone through. He says, I want you to be strengthened. A farmer, illustration for this, a farmer would work months planting and watering and cultivating, and the harvest of that is his joy. So just four quick applications this morning in regards to Philippians. We live this life, and we're moving on from verse 16 now, okay? I promise you. So no more review back to verse number 2, except for right now. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Shine as lights in the world. The world needs you. It needs your light. What does the world see when it looks at you? Would it want to have anything to do with your God if all they knew of your God is you? We are to hold forth the word of life. We are to shine. We are to give the word to others and to those around us. And based upon these things, we live this way. We live every day with eternity in view, as I just mentioned. We live every day with eternity in view. We stay faithful, verse number 2, when no one else even notices. Christ knows. We value other people and we invest in their spiritual life as well. If you were to look around this room, I guarantee there's somebody in here that needs encouraging, somebody in here that needs discipling, someone that needs someone to come alongside them and show them more about Scripture. We invest in other people around us, holding forth the word of life. And that was number 4 already, gave it to you. Invest in others. Invest in others. I want to ask you a question quickly. This is totally out of the notes here, okay? Who in here was influenced by somebody investing in you? Pretty much everybody, right? Somebody invested in you. Whether they told you about Christ, whether they became your friend or whatever it may be, someone invested in you. We hold forth the word of life. We invest in other people. And number 5, don't quit. Don't quit. Finish the race. Finish the race well. Live every day so Christ is honored and that we bear eternal fruit in him. That I might, he says, whoa, that was the wrong book of the Bible. All right, chapter 2, he says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Joanna and Molly are going to come and play a closing song for us this morning. Can we bow our heads together for just a moment as they make their way and begin to play a song for us? I want to ask you a specific question. Number 1, is there somebody you can think of that you need to be shining light to? Is there someone in your mind that you're with or you know that needs to see your light shine? Think of a person. Think of a name. And when you think of that name, pray for him right now. Pray, God, help me to demonstrate you to them. Help them to see Christ in me. Maybe there's someone you know that needs to learn more about God and his word. Maybe it's a phone call or a text or coffee. Will you just invest in that other person? Maybe we need to say to God this morning, God, help me to shine at my workplace. Help me to shine to my neighbors and those around me. Help me to be a light to this community. Stand to our feet this morning. Monty, if you'll put up Psalms 119, 105 again, please. Psalms 119 and 105, and we'll use this verse. Again, I pray this was practical to you today, that we can shine forth the word of life, recognize all that the scripture means to us. But let's say this together as a church before we're dismissed. Are you ready? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, 105. One more time. Ready? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, 105. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the truth of your word. May each of us take these truths and apply them through your Holy Spirit to our lives. May we shine bright. May we shine in our church, in our community, and those around us. May the world see Christ in us with our love, with our forgiveness, with our actions. May he be demonstrated in all things. Father, please use us. Give us power to walk for you and to live for you. Lord, may we live our lives every day with eternity in view. Lord, if any specific names were thought of or mentioned today, Father, I pray that those that have been convicted of those names, that you would send them to help them and encourage them and to come along inside them and invest in their lives. Lord, may we recognize the greatness and the power and the importance of the scriptures. And may the Holy Spirit illuminate our minds for the truth of what you have given us in your word. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Pray for those that are not here today, that are traveling. Pray for those that are not feeling well. Pray for Barney, who's in the hospital. Be with him and heal his body. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.